Okay. Thank you guys for the time of worship and being able to just catch up on our ANA works. I hope that will give you a greater glimpse of what's happening and to continue to do our part in praying and growing as a church in terms of our lives, our faith, because I think with a bigger church, there will come greater responsibilities, such as there will be more people that will be coming in, there will be more challenges, and I think as a church, we want to be able to grow in terms of our faith, grow in terms of our service, grow in terms of how we are seeking to grow our faith such that we are able to meet up to that challenge. So I think it's important for us, even as a young adults, when we look at the future, that this whole concept of our faith must continue to be developed. So as a young adults group, we've been focusing on this idea of faith and how this faith is crucial for, you know, whatever challenges that we would have to face in life, and being able to run this race of faith. Okay? Now, for those of you who are just new in our midst, you know, I think one of the key things about life and about being able to understand life is how to face the challenges of life. I mean, you see something like, you know, what's happening in France and the challenges that they are going through. How do you, you know, come to terms with things like this? Now, we recognize that, you know, it's terrorism. This is not something that we see very much over here, though there have been some experience, you know, like, for instance, where people are arrested or, you know, found out to be plotting things and so on and so forth. But you never know. You just never know what may come into our midst. And, you know, how do we face challenges? How do we face the realities of life? How do we face, you know, the kind of problems that we will encounter? I appreciate what Sian would share. You know, there are times when you just suddenly like this, you know, whether it's your father, your mother, they can just suddenly pass away. Or you can face the reality of having a stroke or a heart attack. Or, you know, these are realities of life that, you know, it's not easy to come to terms with. So we recognize that, you know, it's so important to have faith. To have faith in a God or to have faith in Christ that is going to help us deal with these challenges. There's no point having a faith that does not help me personally in a context of my life. If I have such a faith, then I'll be questioning what's the point of having faith. But the design of faith that we look in the scriptures and what we are going to study in the book of Hebrews is designed by the Lord to help us in our lives, in our challenges, on a day-to-day basis. So last week we were looking at this whole idea of a race. A race is run every day. It's your analogy of how we want to look at life. So we run a race, it's a marathon. It is a race that, you know, we run with faith. And there will be challenges. Sometimes you stumble, sometimes you are weighed down. You know, it's so important to look to Christ. And that understanding of faith helps us to face the challenge. And today we're going to learn something that is crucial for us to understand as we focus on this idea of faith again. So in Hebrews chapter 12, right? So last week we were looking at this idea of running this race with endurance that is set before us. And we look to the Lord Jesus, okay? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? Now, look at verse 3, and he says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Now, this whole idea of looking unto Jesus continues with the word consider. Now, when we looked at the word look, it's an intent look. It is a look that is meant to be fixed upon. You are fixed on that, on Christ, on that, you know, to have that kind of focus, and you're not going to move away from that focus. That's the idea of the word look. It's a fixed kind of looking. Now, what the author does is that then he, when you come to verse 3, he uses the word consider. Now, they are related. Because the word consider, so it's not just fixing your eyes, but the word consider is where you get the word ana, which is the word up, and the word to consider is where you get the word logic. Okay? And it is to think, to put it literally, is to think up. What does that mean? It means that when you fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus, the way you think is affected. And the way you think is that you're not just going to think considering just the things of this earth. You are going to think up. You're going to look up. You're going to see things, and the focus is really on Christ, that you will not be able to see if our focus is on this earth. Can you see my point? So the way in which this word consider is to think up. Right? Is to think who Christ is and what he does, and to consider. And when we think in that way, so it's fixed doesn't mean just staring. You know, sometimes I speak and I see you staring. I know that you're fixed your eyes on me, but you're not thinking very much, actually, because your mind is somewhere else and so forth. But I think you get my point. My point is that you fix your eyes, but you also must think. It is to consider, to use your logic, to use your reasoning. So it's not just fixing. Fixing is important, but you need to go beyond. You need to say, I need to think. Think up. To think up to Christ, to who he is. And I reason things out. I consider who he is. So that it actually impacts my life. And that's something that we want to consider this afternoon. Okay? To think carefully about the Lord. Alright? And what is it that we really want to think about? So it goes on to say, right, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, notice the word endured, right? So this was something that was described concerning the Lord in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Right? So in verse 3, it is a further explanation of what is it is this idea of carrying the cross. And the idea of carrying the cross is that he would have to endure such hostilities from sinners, those who will go against him. So endure the cross, endure hostilities. They are related. In fact, one would really explain the other. So you see how the Lord Jesus endured the cross, and we see this in verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Okay? And of course, this idea of the word endured is really this hupomone, to persevere. So you look at what's happening in France, and you know, this is like the fifth or sixth time that is within a 2-year framework that they have another terrorist attack. And it's challenging. I mean, I really felt for them because Nice was a place that Chinky and I were just there a couple of weeks ago when we were holidaying there. And when I saw the promenade and I saw the pictures, wow, it really hit home. I mean, one, of course, both of us, we were there, and we're just glad that, you know, the Lord has specially kept us, watched over us. I mean, there were threats of terrorist attacks and so forth. They thought it would happen in the Euro 2016, but it happened during the National Day. When I saw the pictures of the promenade, it caused me to remember being there. We were just there. In fact, one of the mornings we were there for breakfast, and, you know, there was such a nice man that was, serving us. And, you know, we had a good time. It was a nice beach and so on and so forth. And, you know, to see what happened to them and to see the truck plow through the whole crowd, it was tough. You know, I started to tear because my heart just went out to the people. And, you know, when you are there, it was, you know, somehow you have an affinity with that place. And also with the people. And to see such horror, to see such evil at work, this person would think such a thing to do. And against innocent people, against children, it's just so inhumane, it's unthinkable. But, you know, these are realities of life. We live in such a world. And how do we come to terms with such realities? I mean, ultimately, yes, the Lord would deal with this people, with this person, with, you know, He would bring about His judgment one way or another. But yet, at the same time, we live in this world. We face such challenges. And it's so important to find the endurance. And I appreciate, you know, how the president will say, you know, our hearts are resolved. We will continue to face these challenges and to do all we can. I mean, it's challenging. But what about our lives? Can we learn what it means to endure? Can we learn what it means to endure such hostility as the Lord Jesus did? Now, look at this part here when he says, lest you become wearied and discouraged in your souls. Now, it's a very interesting way in which the author actually described this. Meaning, when you consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become wearied and discouraged in your souls. So, the Lord Jesus, his example of enduring the cross, of enduring these hostilities, is meant to make a big, huge difference in our lives, lest we become discouraged and wearied. Can you see the way in which this was being brought across? That means there's a great sense of purpose in the way we look at the Lord Jesus. That means if we properly look at the Lord Jesus, to look at his example, if we truly, truly understand what it means to consider the Lord Jesus, how he endured the cross, it creates an impact upon our lives so that we will not end up being wearied and discouraged. Can you see the way in which this was being brought across? That means, if we truly appreciate the Lord Jesus, and it's not just knowledge, because knowledge can go so far and no more. But if we truly appreciate the Lord Jesus, this week, Pastor was sharing from Ephesians to us, and, you know, if we have not so learned Christ, and he was just explaining the word learned Christ, it's kind of a strange way of phrasing something. So, learn Christ. You know, a little awkward. But what he's trying to say here is that you have learned so much and then what you have learned about Christ is so real. The person of Christ, the, you know, who he is, is something that you actually learn, not in knowledge, but in reality. You learn Christ, the person of Christ, the, you know, His power, His life, and so on and so forth, that it becomes so real to you. That is what Paul was trying to bring across to the Ephesian church. That if you truly learn Christ, if you have heard Him, if you have listened to Him and appreciated Him, you have learned Him. You have learned Christ. And you know, in the same way, when we talk about how Christ is someone that we consider and that is so much a part and so real to us, that it creates an impact in our lives that causes us not to end up being discouraged and weary. You know, it's very easy to end up being discouraged and weary. I think we all, maybe along the way, we recognize, wow, unless we are really, really tired out, you know. But actually being weary and discouraged is far more real and far more subtle than many of us will care to admit. Because it's very easy to lose heart. The idea here is to lose courage. The word discourage is, you know, to is where you get the word luo, which is the first word that whenever you study Greek, you always remember this word luo, right? Loose. Yeah. So the idea of lose heart or lose courage, to be discouraged. And it's important for us not to allow. Okay, in the context of Hebrews, what are we talking about? Now, let's go back a little bit to Hebrews 3. And if we were to allow, let's just say if we allow the weights and the sins in our lives to get the better of us, that's how we end up being discouraged. For instance, in chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion." And sometimes when you harden your heart, you know, you feel, hey, you know what? I listen to the Word of God and I don't feel a thing. You know what? Maybe your heart is hardened. And if you allow that to affect you, then, you know, we may end up being discouraged. It could be rebellion. You know, sometimes we listen to the Word of God, we don't respond. In fact, we rebel. Or times when we test God, or that we would go astray, that we would, that we will have an evil heart of unbelief, verse 12. Or that we will depart from the living God. Or that we will end up, you know, having allowed ourselves to fall into sin, the deceitfulness of sin. These things can cause us to be discouraged and wearied. And it's a challenge. You know, sometimes when if you look at the whole book of Hebrews, these are the sins that the author was trying to deal with. And part of the problem is the lack of growth. So they were still babes in Christ. Right? They know the Lord, but they were still babies. They were not growing. Their growth was, you know, very much limited or hampered because of these sins and struggles and so on and so forth. And you know, a lot of times when we end up looking at life, looking at things in almost like a childish manner, that, you know, while we face these struggles, we give up easily. You know, sometimes you look at children, you ask them to do something, they cannot do it, oh, I can't do it. They give up very easily. And you know, sometimes that's how we can describe the spiritual faith too. It's, we are still too, you know, caught up with our own selves, distractions, and you know what? We are possibly still too young in our faith, and you know, we struggle with these things. We're not feeding on the Word of God as we should. We are not strong as we should. Can you see this? It's so crucial for us to learn how to find that strength so that we will not end up being wearied and discouraged. And that strength is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Him. Him who endured the cross. Him who endured the hostilities and so forth. And I think that's something for us to learn. You know, someone wrote to me and he was just interacting with me concerning this idea of revival. And, you know, looking at Psalm 119 and looking at this whole idea of being revived. And when you look at the psalmist and he was writing, you know, he kept praying, Lord, revive me, revive me, revive me, revive me. Many times in Psalm 119, and he used the word revived. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, when do we pray that prayer, revive me? And oftentimes we make that prayer is when, you know, when we are really down in the dumps, and we are really, we have no strength anymore, and we feel that we don't feel like giving up. I mean, we feel like giving up. And then we pray, oh Lord, revive me. But my understanding from what this psalmist was writing is that the call to be revived should be a constant call. Why? Because all it needs, you know, you go through a week and you are caught up with the work that you need to do and you are tired out. You know what? You already need revival. All you need is the wrong perspective that comes along the way because you are, you know, discouraged or a stray thought that comes or something that causes you to be down and so on and so forth. You know what? You need revival already. You don't need to wait till you are down in the dumps and then you feel like, oh Lord, you know, please help me. I feel like giving up and so on and so forth. Frankly, to me, each week, each day, we all need a sense of renewal and revival. Why I'm raising this is that unless we really consider Christ each and every day, to look to Him, to be inspired, to be encouraged, to be, you know, to be impacted by who He is, He's so real to us that it impacts our lives so that we are uplifted, so that we look up, so we think up, and we don't end up feeling discouraged and buried. It's so easy to be end up, you know, discouraged. Seriously. I think we all recognize that. I think we all, you know, see, the mind is so weak. And it's far weaker than we tend to think. We all tend to think we are pretty strong. But actually, the mind is such a, something you just need a very straight thought here and there. And, why are you thinking of this kind of thoughts? It's very, very real. And, you know, we need to guard that mind. We need to make it strong. And that's why it says here, look, right? Consider, think. Consider Christ. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Well, this to me is an inspiring word for us to carry on. You know, I mean, of course, we will go through different challenges and problems and difficulties. But have you strived to such an extent? Have you resisted to such an extent that you have shed blood? I mean, look at the examples that we have in Hebrews 12. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews 12. Or in Hebrews 11. Look at this, right? You see all those. Now, interestingly, if we just review back in Hebrews 11, the early on examples, you know, they are things concerning, I mean, by faith, there are things that are with reference to normal day life, you know. worship and having children and so on and so forth. Right? And it's only slightly later where you have all those challenges that are more significant, but nonetheless all require faith. So in verse 32 onwards, then more, what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and so on and so forth. Okay? And how who through faith subdued kingdoms, work righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions. Well, that's reference to Daniel. Quench the violence of fire. Well, Daniel and his friends, or his friends. Escape the edge of the sword. Well, could be David. Out of weakness were made strong. Gideon became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Independence Day. Well, not really. Aliens as in foreigners. But I thought that was a reference to Independence Day. Right? Women received their dead, raised to life again. You know, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment, and so on. You know, these resisted to the point of bloodshed and even death. And we are not even close to any of these things that we have to face. And, you know, we go through a little bit of suffering, we go through a little bit of difficulty, and then we feel like giving up. No. I think our faith is something that is so much more significant. The potential of that faith is so great to see how that faith helped all these great Bible heroes to do what they needed to do and to overcome. And to say that, you know, we go through a bit of suffering, a bit of difficulty, and then we feel like giving up. You know what? I think our faith is too little. We're not strong enough. We're not applying our faith well enough. I think it's crucial for us to learn what it means to rise up because we have faith. It says here, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed. It's not that bad yet. So what we are going through in life, it's not that bad yet. I mean, there are many people who have been through worse. So what you're going through is not going to, what you're going through may be huge to you, but yet there are many others who have been through worse. You see what I'm trying to bring across when we talk about faith? There's so much more that we can learn to overcome because of our faith. The faith that we have. And I think it's important for us to learn this. To look to Christ. To struggle on. Right? The word striving against sin is the word to agonize. Right? That we would agonize on, that we will struggle on, and we will not give up. Okay? And we don't want to grow weary and discouraged in any way. Okay? You know, when I look at this faith, and I look at all these great examples, and of course, when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and what is it that we think about? When you are tired out, when you are facing challenges, when you are wearied, how do you feel? What do you think? Right? A lot of times people always tell me, you know, Pastor Mark, at the end of the day, I come home from work, I'm so tired out, I just don't want to think. I just want to vegetate in front of the television. Right, it's a very common thing that all of us, I think we all feel the same way. Right, you just want to, let's switch on the television and just watch and then fall asleep and don't know what's happening and, you know, we don't want to think very much. What if taking time to think It's our, you know, it's the way to go in dealing with these bouts of weariness and possible discouragement that may come our way. What if we need to think and to think hard and to consider Christ? You know, I like to think. I mean, much younger, you know, maybe I didn't think as much because I didn't study very much. Right? But now I like to think. I like to think that I think. See, I'm always thinking. But the idea of thinking is crucial, see. And to think, what do we think? And I don't mean thinking, oh, I've got to worry about this. See, a lot of times we struggle with all kinds of things that comes to our mind. And we are anxious, we are discouraged. And, you know, these things can plague us. These things can overwhelm us. These things can keep us awake at night and so on and so forth. But, you know, to think about Christ and Christ alone. Let's set aside the weights and the sins that easily set us back, to weigh us down. You know, let's think about who Christ is instead. To think to the point where He's so real that nothing else matters. Right? To think so much, I mean, that Christ is a person that is real. He's, you know, it's not just you know, knowledge. It's not just someone that we return to, and but He's so real that it impacts your heart, it impacts your spirit, it impacts the way you think, it impacts everything about you. So when I was you know, looking at the pictures concerning this terrorist attacks, and you know, I especially prayed for them, and you know, I began to think, how do I understand these circumstances that the world is in? I mean, look at what's happening in Turkey. I mean, it's crazy. Suddenly you have a coup that's, you know, and people are shooting at each other, and it's, I mean, that's and all happening within a couple of weeks and so on and so forth. What's happening to the world? I don't know whether you have such thoughts. Sometimes you wonder, what's happening to the world? What's happening in the US with the elections going on? What's happening? And you know what? The world can just unravel very, very quickly. You recognize that it doesn't take very much to bring the whole country down to their knees. And, you know, what do you think about? Well, my thinking is I go back to the Lord. For I find that there's no possible way in which you can come to terms with these things unless you turn to the Lord. And you find His kind of thinking to understand and see these things from His perspective. It's going back to His Word. It's going back to, you know, wonderful truths that will set your heart at peace and to be at peace with the world. That's how I did it. That's how I responded. And, you know, just learning how to face such hostilities, such realities, you know, such violence that you see around, such evil. Now, even as a pastor, it doesn't mean that every time when I see these things, I'm fine with it. No. There are times when I even struggle with some of these things. Why is there such evil? I mean, they're just enjoying a national day, watching the, you know, the fireworks, and this guy just ran them down. Just like that. What's the sense of all these things? Sometimes it's hard. But yet at the same time, I find sense in the Lord and His Word. I find peace. I find comfort. I find strength. And I find the kind of faith to carry on in this world, in this life. And I hope you would too. Would you consider the Lord Jesus, Him who endured such hostility against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged? Please do not allow weariness and discouragement to get the better of you. And I hope that if you ever need help, if you need someone to talk to, please talk to us. We are always available to talk to. But don't allow all kinds of funny thoughts to affect you, that you end up doing something that, you know, something stupid, or something that, you know, to me would be really unfortunate. So when I hear of people committing suicide or people giving up on life, and I, you know, it's such a waste. Why do you need to go that way? What is it that we find in our lives that is so horrible, so terrible, that we need to give up on life? There's more to life. And there is Christ. It's so important for us to look to Him. Well, let's pray before we go to our prayers. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and ask that You will help us to see the reality of Christ in our faith. Help us, Lord, to look to Him, to consider Him for all that He had to endure. Help us, Lord, to see the reality of His life that should impact our lives in the way we live our lives. That we would not see ourselves ending up being wearied and discouraged by the problems, afflictions, by the sins that we struggle with. But teach us, Lord, to overcome these things. We pray, Lord, that You will encourage our hearts, even as we go to our groups, to take a bit of time to talk to each other and to encourage each other. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,